minds, that you are praying that God would give you the courage and the strength and the boldness to take a step forward and go in that direction. You'll notice the subtitle, we are called to stand. We as Christians, God's people, are called to stand, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances. Let's begin with the intro. Every pastor, has his heart broken, just as Timothy did, by people who abandoned that local congregation. At least in Timothy's day, early believers were leaving largely because they were afraid of being murdered. You might want to underline that. Were they afraid of being murdered? They said they were, to a point. But what does God have to say about that? He says, stay. Stand your ground. Continue to assemble as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, if the coronavirus has taken a lot of people out, just think what the threat of being murdered for the sake of Christ, how many people would that take out? I would probably have just a few people right in here. Now, I really believe that you would come. I really believe that you would stand. I really believe that you would pray for boldness and you would pray for courage. I really believe that you would come as Christians, first of all, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would come to support one another during a time that is so threatening. At least in Timothy's day, early believers were leaving largely because they were afraid of being murdered. But if the Lord viewed the desertion of early believers to be a lack of faith, think about how frivolous He would view the excuses of most believers today. If Jesus were here and you said, I'm just not coming back because of the coronavirus, what do you think Jesus would say? How would He address that response that you were giving to Him? Time and trouble always reveal the true commitment of people. Timothy's church was experiencing a defection because of persecution and the imminent threat of death. Yet no matter how difficult the circumstances become, Christians are not called to defect. Please listen, and I hope you have something to underline some words here. Christians are not called to defect from the place God has ordained them to be planted. Underline the word ordained, please. The word ordained means pre-arranged. I don't know if you know it, but you have been pre-arranged where God wants you to be. You don't just stumble into a house of God. You don't say, well, I like the youth ministry, the preacher's okay, so I think we'll go there. Here's how this goes. You pray and you ask God where He has already prearranged for you to be. That's the prayer that you need to pray. And then when you get the answer to that prayer and you are satisfied that God has given you that spiritual answer, then you go to the local assembly where God has prearranged for you to be. If God has prearranged a place for you to be, He's going to gift you that you may serve specifically with spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit the moment you were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So it has been prearranged where you are to go to church. It has been prearranged how you are to serve in that specific local assembly that He has already designed just for you. So when you think about going to church, don't think about it too long. Start praying about it and ask God where He would have you go and where He would have you serve. All right? The word ordained, prearranged, unalterable, unalterable. Brother, God has said, I am placing you at Hainesville Baptist Church. It's been prearranged. It is unalterable. It is unchangeable. It is non-negotiable. That tells you how important it is to be in the place where God has prearranged for you to be. He has put you there. He has planted you. Now, what does he say? So don't let the coronavirus chase you from where I have put you. Don't let the threat of murder take you out the doors of the local assembly where I have planted you. If I have planted you in a specific place and put you there, will I not look over you? Will I not guard you? Will I not be with you through every difficulty and every hardship? The answer is yes, I will. So now you should know what I'm fixing to say. There is no reason for you to fear anything or anybody if you are a true child of the living God. If you are listening to God, if you are trusting God, if you are obeying God, He will give you the courage that is needed to overcome every difficult task and hardship that will ever be allowed in your life as a child of the living God. So what do you say? I'm not running. What else do you say? I shall not be moved. Period. Non-negotiable. Here we go. Back to the printout. I want you to know that there is a special measure of mercy available to those who feel overwhelmed by trials in life. This is good news for you if you plan to do anything significant for God. For you will also find yourself living in a combat zone from time to time. Look at the title, Overcoming the Spirit of Fear. Introduction, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God, notice where God is placed. He's at the beginning of this scripture. And what does that tell you? You need to know who God is. You need to know all about the living God of the Bible if you're not going to walk in fear and follow Him, whatever the difficulty or hardship. For God did not give us, Christians, a spirit, a attitude or mindset of timidity or cowardice or fear. But He has given us a spirit of power. Underline power, please, and write number one. He has given us power and of love. Underline love and write number two. And of sound judgment. Underline sound judgment and write number three. Note, all three of these are supplied by the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, it is our Christian heritage given us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is our heritage? Godly power, godly love, and godly judgment. You and I have this. Remember, it's a grace gift from Almighty God. And it is given to you as a Christian in Jesus Christ. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but He has given us a spirit, an attitude of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7. You don't have it? I've got it right here, so you don't have to look around on your printout like some of you do. All right, now I want you to pay attention to 2 Timothy 1:7. We just read it. I'm going to exegete this very quickly. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. If you have somewhere to write, underline or write the word God. If you look up the word God in the Greek language, here's what it's going to tell you. God the Creator. Why should I fear when God has created all that exists? God the Creator, God the owner of all things. Why should I fear if God is the owner of all things? God has unlimited power. Why should I fear when I am a child of God and He has unlimited power? He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present and He is all-sufficient. He is my heavenly Father. Should I fear anything with a heavenly Father like this? The answer is no. You should never have an attitude or a mindset of fear, knowing that God is God and God is your Father and this is who He is. God, for God has not given us a spirit. The word spirit here does not refer to the Holy Spirit, but who? An attitude or a mindset. An attitude or a mindset. A spirit of timidity. What is timidity? Please listen closely. Someone who loses moral gumption. Someone who loses moral gumption. Now, or who loses fortitude. So what is fortitude? Fortitude is strength of mind. It is enduring pain or adversity courageously. Timidity. I'll read it again. Someone who loses moral gumption. Someone who loses strength of mind. Someone who loses endurance needed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Second definition. Fearful of losses. The dread of losing. Causing someone to become cowardly and therefore fall short in following Jesus Christ as Lord. Then here's the question. Are you living under the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ? What is your answer? Your answer should be, and you know what it is, an absolute yes. Yes to the Lord Jesus. I'm living under your authority. I'm living under your lordship. And you know what? If we are forced to say, are we going to stay here and worship? Or are we going to allow the government to tell us what to do? I'm going to say it clear and I don't care who hears it. We are not under the government. We as God's people are under the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that is never ever going to change. And that's why we will do what Jesus tells us to do. Get in the Bible, learn His word, learn His perspective. You'll be glad you did. Then look at the word power. The word power, the ability to perform and the power to achieve. What is that? That's all about grace. When I read this and kept on reading it, my mind went back. You're probably thinking, Terry, you're losing it. Went back to Genesis, to the ark. What did God do with Noah and his family? What did He do when it was time to shut them in? God shut them in. God, in other words, locked everything where they could not get out. Do you see the symbolism? When you are saved, God locks you in grace. He shuts you in grace. You are that secure in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you should never doubt anything of the validity of the Word of the living God. You have been locked in grace by the blood of Jesus Christ and His cross and the resurrection.
Amen.
Whoo-wee. Pretty good stuff. Look at the word love. The word love. This has nothing to do with softness. A lot of people say sometimes, preacher, I wish you'd preach on love. You couldn't handle it. You know why? Love is tough. Biblical love is not softness. It's not gooey in any way. Biblical love is very pointed. Biblical love is doing what God prefers. That's what biblical love is right there. That's how you demonstrate it. Look at love. Agape. Agape. That's God's love. And you don't get that love until you become a Christian. Agape. Focusing on what God prefers. focusing on what God prefers, not focusing on the coronavirus. Let me tell you something. Don't believe what you hear on TV. This is a political hot potato. Did you hear what the teacher had to say? She let the cat out of the bag the other night on Fox News. She said, oh, this will be around until the election. Yeah. Oh. You mean if Biden was to get elected, then a lot of things would disappear. My friends, let me tell you something. You focus on Jesus Christ and not the coronavirus, okay? Then there's that word discipline. Discipline, behavior that correctly fits a situation. In other words, is apt because you're acting out God's will. If you're in a situation, what do? Act out God's word in that specific situation. Act out the word of God. Act out the will of God. Act out what God prefers you to do in that specific situation. You can't go wrong. The power of God is released. God goes to work. There's that power to achieve and that power to perform. Notice it's not my power to perform and achieve. It's God's power. Discipline. This is a man who does not command himself. Rather, he is commanded by God. And that is John MacArthur. I'm here to tell you that. Question. And that's the way all pastors should be, myself and I am. Question number one. What is the danger of a spirit that is an attitude or mindset of timidity or cowardice? Listen. A spirit of cowardice will falter under a load of responsibilities. People that are scared to death can't handle responsibilities. You can't handle the authority of God. You can't handle the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? A spirit of cowardice will falter under a load of responsibilities because a spirit of cowardice has no forcefulness of character, is not able to use authority boldly because you're too focused on what you're scared of. Back to the printout. Look under 2 Timothy 1:7, page 1. Fear is a powerful force. And if, underline the word if, that means your choice. Your choice. You make the call. And if fear gets a grip on your mind, and you'll be responsible for that, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 2. You already know this. But we need to master it and live by it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. Here we go. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed. How long you been in church? How much have you changed? Progressive sanctification. That's a spiritual word, isn't it, for it? Are you progressively, spiritually growing in Christ's likeness? Is it a progressive growth? That's what you have to answer. And progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. When you get saved, here's what else gets saved. Your mind. A lot of people get saved, join a church, but their mind stays the same. And they wonder why this Christian stuff don't work. Focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, that is, in His plan and purpose for you. Fear is a powerful force, print out. And if fear gets a grip on your mind, and that's your choice, your call, it will produce cowardice. What is cowardice? It's just a lack of courage. If you let it go unchecked Eventually, you'll be afraid of everything and everyone. If you allow it to do so, fear will eventually control your life. Let's look at fears many people are dealing with in their personal lives. Here we go. Fear of divorce, fear of cancer, fear of AIDS, fear of suicide, fear of insanity, fear of heights, fear of murder, fear of robbers, fear of attack, fear of financial failure, fear of demons, and so on. This makes it clear why we must remember what the Bible says. For God hath not given his children the spirit of fear. So where in the world is it coming from? Yeah, you got it. Okay, here we go. But of power and love and of a sound mind. Page 2. Sound mind. This is interesting. Sound mind. Here we go. Now look at the word S-O-D-Z-O, sudzo. Sudzo means salvation or deliverance. And the word proneo denotes the mind or intelligence. Now we're going to put these two words together. These two words together, sudzo and proneo, convey something very important. They refer to a saved brain or a delivered head. When you got saved, did you give your brain to God? That's the only way you're going to have a wise head. And what do people do mostly to get saved? I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. What'd you do with your brain? What'd you do with it? What did Romans chapter 12, verse 2 just say? There has to be a renewing of the brain, the mind. If it's not renewed, you're going to have a very difficult time in the Christian life. Point one, our minds should not be affected by fear and circumstances because they have been delivered. Hebrews 2:15 says that Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Last paragraph. This is part of our Christian heritage. Freedom from fear belongs to us. Jesus came to deliver us from fear and to give us a sound mind, a mind that shouldn't even have to comprehend fear. You should not live in fear. If you do, it's your call. I'm not. Not of Black Lives Matter. Not of Antifa. But I'll tell you one thing you better do. If you're not, you better get supporting our police. Not with just words, but with your prayers. They need them. Look at the police chiefs that are saying, I'm out of here. I'm resigning. I never thought I'd see that in the United States of America. There's going to be a prayer time, I hear. I hope it's in Washington. I didn't hear it all. But you know what? Black Lives Matter and Antifa can't stand against prayer. They can't stand against God. And you know, I've watched God, I've seen God in the Bible by reading His words, and you have too, of the miraculous things He has done to stop evil and shut it down. And I'm going to tell you, He's the same God doing the same stuff today. He hasn't stopped. And that's what it's going to take. Confronting them, no doubt, with law enforcement, yes. But also the power of prayer and saying, God, help us and settle this mess in Jesus' name, that we may continue with the gospel of Christ. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for letting us know with no hesitation and no doubt that you did not give us a mindset or attitude of fear. You gave us a mindset of godly power that enables us to perform and achieve. You gave us agape love. It's not a soft love. It is a love that does what God prefers. And you said you even saved and delivered our minds. So it's time that we invest our minds in the Word of God, that we may be delivered more and more from Satan's thoughts and delivered to God's thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.